Let's go.
Don Cherry's Grapevine, and I really have a lot of fun doing this. We don't have Dell with us today, or Cindy, or listen to Doug Ford, and we're sitting a long ways away. I have to talk about a few things that have happened in the National Hockey League. Mike Hoffman finally signed with St. Louis. I guess he's getting a ton of dough. He should. And I understand St. Louis, how they did it was that they have two guys that are injured. They're going to put them on long-term injury, and that's how they're going to may have to make some decisions at the end. But Mike Hoffman, and this guy is unbelievable. He has six seasons, and he averages 28 goals. And I don't understand Ottawa. Do you think Ottawa could use him? I've never understood that deal. I've never understood the getting rid of him, and he denied it. As, you know, he's supposed to.
Yeah, there was
say,
all that controversy with yeah. him and his girlfriend with Carlson, and then they get rid of Carlson.
And Carlson goes out,
which is a blessing, maybe.
Yeah,
for,
I guess
Ottawa.
So. I think he's getting $12 million or $11 million, and he scored about 7 goals or something like that. Unbelievable. Anyhow, I think Ottawa could have used him, and St. Louis would. Yeah, you know, that terrific. I think that's just what they needed. And he'll be terrific there. He'll get 28 goals. And Corey Perry goes to Montreal. And he's an agitator. There's no doubt about it. And
it was funny. I remember we were watching a game. I think it was the semifinals. And Dallas was down by 2. And they scored a power play goal. And the next shift, Corey Perry came out, and he got a penalty. And Bonus went bananas on the bench. You could see just kind of like, and you told me then, you said, you know what? They're not going to sign him. And right then and there, you said, Dallas won't sign him because of that penalty. And
well, you know, when you're a coach, and you get a feel that you're coming back. And they were coming back, and I think they might have won that game, but that penalty just, I think, I don't know whether they scored or not, but... Montreal is not going to be, you won't push Montreal around anymore. They've got bigger, they've got tougher. And Tim, and that Canadian division, we must talk about that Canadian division, coming.
Yeah, well, we do these on Sunday morning. So yeah. We'll be talking about next week. We'll get into the whole NHL stuff and stuff like that. But we will be doing, coming up, an interview with you with Gump Worsley. But I think the big news, Dad, in the NHL.
Oh, it's Chara.
Yeah, what happened?
I can't, for the life of me, Tim, you told me before, that a boss said to him, go ahead. No, what did he say?
Reading on the internet, that Chara, he didn't badmouth.
No, he's a good guy. He's a terrific guy. I met him.
He didn't badmouth Boston, but what he said, or Sweeney, but he said that they were going to give him a lesser role, and that's kind of code for that he was going to be a healthy scratch sometimes.
You cannot, this guy, a guy like that, he was a plus player. He was plus 26. I mean, he was a defenseman. He's plus 26. He was a plus in the playoffs. I saw a thing. He was like third or fourth in hits and block shots, and nobody would. And believe me, I am worried about Boston. I am really. Remember, I said this.
That's a tough division there, and I think that's as tough, if not tougher, than the other.
I am really worried. I mean, I loved it last year when Boston was flying and. But Chara was a big deal. I just don't understand how they could not for $750,000. Now that's a lot of money. I wish I was making that, but for a guy like that and Washington, all those young defensemen, he'll be terrific.
And as you said, Dad, he's a real leader.
And
you know, he was the kind of guy that stirred the drink. And when you remember, he broke his jaw and he came back the next game.
I can't believe that they didn't. Why they would ever say to him, you'll play a lesser role, is beyond me.
Yeah, that's a slap. That really is a slap in
the
face.
Oh, I'll tell you how I quit hockey. And it was nothing like that. I was in Joe Crozier's office one time, and a player would phone, and he said to them, never mind. And she said,
kind of sloughed him off. Right?
Yeah, and she said, well, this is the third time. Never mind. And I said to myself, if I ever, if he ever does that to me, I'll quit. And I remember I was ready to go, and I was in, it was in, I didn't, the, he was going to Vancouver, I think, the Canucks, and I just wanted to phone him where I was going to play. And yeah, he's busy right now. He couldn't take my call, and I was really mad. Eh? So I quit. And I remember Rose said, "Now wait a minute. You win a championship last year. You're the captain of the team. I think I was the captain of the team. You have no injuries, and you're making the most money you've ever made, and you're quitting because the guy won't take your call." Yep. And if I ever had with Crozier, and if he had ever said you're going to take a lesser role, and you might not, I would have quit too. But we had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
We had to quit. But he went to Washington. He is going to be fantastic. He'll really try to turn it on. He'll even be better.
Yeah.
Because he had to show them. But he played with a broken jaw. Yeah. I mean, how could you say that to that guy? Especially after you lose Krug. Yeah. You know, I mean, their defense. Well, I hope they know what they're doing, because to let a guy like that go. And he is a leader, believe me. And I met him. And when I was down there, I forget what was down there. Oh, what was it down there for? The 11-20 goal.
Yeah.
He was hurt. He come up and said hello to me. You know, that was pretty good.
Well, one thing I remember about Chera was he was playing in the World Tournament, and they beat the Americans, and he was going off, and I forget who, somebody was going to be interviewed about beating the Americans, and one of the other players, and he came over, and you can hear him say, "No, be humble."
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
eh?
Yeah.
And you see, the coach for Team Canada says the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. So talk about Team Canada, about the World Juniors.
Well, I have to say something. I love the hockey. I mean, you mentioned it, and was the refereeing and the linesman. They're fantastic. You don't even know they're out there.
No.
They're not putting on a show. They're not. And the linesmen aren't, throwing guys out, and the guys aren't arguing, and
I don't remember them throwing a guy out yet.
No, they haven't thrown a guy out. They put their arm in the air. And I don't know what that means. I think I must find
smarten up.
Smarten up, you two guys. And he said, yeah, I think it's like smarten up. I'll give you one warning. And there's no, you don't even know the linesmen. The linesmen are great. And I'm really impressed with the NHL should take a page out of these guys. I mean, you don't know they're out there. They're not calling chintzy penalties and
Yeah, that's the thing too. And you and I have always said, you know, watching the things. If the referees start calling chintzy penalties, the players start
to
dive.
Well, in minor midget too.
Yeah, and they'll start to dive. And you watch this hockey. I can't remember the lack of diving in international hockey like there. The kids just don't do it because they know the refs aren't going to bite.
They just would shake their head. Like it reminds me of minor, I guess you can't say minor midget or whatever it's called. Yeah. What's it going to call now?
Under 16.
It's going to be under 16. Okay. Under 16 hockey that if you see a big, tall, beautiful skating guy, you know that there's going to be a lot of penalties and they're going to be diving all over the place. But if you see a short guy and he's a heavy, and he's been refereeing, and he talks to the kids. That's what I love. They talk to the kids. Get up, get up. And the kids won't dive. And
that's what you're seeing now. You're not seeing
terrific. The hockey you're seeing right now is like under 16. And I don't blame them. The only way like Germany's going to win, or a team like that's going to win, is to sit back and wait. But I don't care. It's still good hockey.
Well, I mean, that's we did pretty good talking about thing. We picked the Finns to beat the Swedes. You picked them, and then of course Canada and Russia. So you were 4-for-4 yesterday on the bets.
Yeah, I was pretty lucky. You did the betting. You do the betting, but.
So just speaking
it's
of
good
that,
hockey.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Speaking of that, we just want to thank our sponsor.
Where we're winning.
Spreads.ca. It's a casino tailored towards Canadians. And they have a special promo coming up with hockey coming up. They're all excited because I think the Canadians people are going to like to bet on.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah,
yeah, we hope so.
It's called Cherry Pick. and you can win up to $5,000. And so go on to spreads.ca and see how you can. It's going to be just a short run. It's only right up to the January 11th. And if you deposit some money, you have a chance of winning $5,000. So that'll be exciting to see. But so, Dad, as I say, we see the this is Sunday, and tomorrow the Russians and Team Canada play, and then the U.S. and the Finns, and then we'll talk about that next week.
I'm worried about those Russians. I tell you, boy, you know, I don't trust them because they before the series.
Yeah.
And there's something about those Russians. They seem to be, you know, there's some, I don't know. I just don't trust them at all, I guess, from the old days. And
well,
all
they'll have, you know, we'll be talking
they're
about
big.
This on Tuesday. Yeah, they're big. The Tuesday, later on the week, we might be eating some crow. But,
yeah.
You know, Canada
beat. I hate that when it's a guy says, I'm worried about this. And come out and say it. Yeah. No, I'll never ever say that the Russians will beat the Canadians because I'm cheering.
This will
Canada.
Be their toughest time, and I mean, and you know, the Russians have some revenge on their mind because last year Canada beat them in at the finals. So let's go, Dad. We're going to talk. We have a grapevine show we did in with Bobby Orr and Gump Worsley, and
Bobby's on at the start.
Yeah,
you know, I have to say, I listened to it again the other, and I'd have to say Gump Worsley is the best one.
Yeah,
can I say one thing I remember halfway through it, I said, so what are you doing now? I said, I'm sitting here getting interviewed by you. Well, I was thinking, he is a funny guy. He really is a funny guy.
So you played with him in Springfield, and he's, it's kind of sad, I think, a lot of times that, I'm not knocking the NHL, but they just don't promote the old players. And Gump was...
He was something.
Yeah.
And if he had taken him interviews and that, he should have done interviews.
You said, though, you had kind of some weird injuries. Tell us about the one injury that he had.
Oh, yeah. Well, the one injury, I'm reading all the injuries and everything about him and everything, and he's telling me about everything, and he told me about a guy that threw an egg in Madison Square Garden.
A hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, hard-boiled egg. And he had a concussion. Now, that...
The guy threw it from the top thing and hit him right in the head.
And he had a concussion from a hard-boiled egg. Now, I could tell you a funny story about that one. I thought of Rochester. We played, I forget who we were playing. I think we were playing, we couldn't be playing Quebec. Anyhow, we're playing somebody, and it was jammed. You never saw one bit of cement. And we had people on the aisle.
Oh, the War Memorial. I remember, we were like.
How old were you then?
I would have been probably about 10. I remember. I remember because I remember once in a while I used to go and ride in the car out there. But I remember like people used to literally sit on the steps going up to the thing.
Yeah, and we had
there was a big stage in the Rochester War Memorial at the one end, and you couldn't move. And then
so I'm for some reason there was a timeout, and I don't know why I was looking at the top, and this guy threw an egg. And I followed the egg right down, and John McCauley, God love him,
the referee.
What a great referee was. He's standing there, and it hit him right on the head. I mean, you couldn't do that again in 100 years. And now he's covered all in, you know, in the egg and everything. It wasn't hard-boiled or anything, thank goodness. And he come over, and I said, he's going to call the game. He's going to be mad and going to, you know, and everything. And he come over to get a towel off us. He said, nice shot, eh? he was a great guy, John McCauley.
You said you had New York guys, people throwing stuff at you at the Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden, the worst I ever had, was in Detroit. And I used to antagonize them in Detroit, and you know, and they used to pick up asphalt. They used to take it and throw it, and I thought, that's asphalt, and bang, it hit them. And when a guy threw one, and I looked down, it's a great big bullet. And a guy had been killed, murdered the night before at a tennis match. And he went to get his car, and a guy was murdered when
outside of the it was Olympia back then, right?
Yeah. And when I looked down and I saw this bullet, I pulled in my horns. I didn't antagonize.
Yeah. Well, I remember in Montreal, a guy whipped a Zippo lighter at you.
Oh, and I just happened to see the guy, and I pointed pointed at the guy. I don't think they ever threw him out, but boy, that, and it hit me in the back of the down on
your chest, shoulder, yeah,
shoulder. And
if that had hit you in the head, that'd have knocked you out.
Oh, knocked me out. It might have killed me. It was a Zippo Lloyd. It was one of those big, heavy ones, eh? And they used to throw batteries and stuff like that. You never fooled around, and they were right. You were right in the crowd and everything like that. But Gump, boy, a hard-boiled egg, I can just say.
Yeah, for the top of Madison Square Gardens, that would have
hurt.
He
had a lot of injuries, oh boy. Okay. I wrote them down. He had severed tendon. His knee, he had a whole bunch of operations on his knee. He looked pretty good. He had a brush cut, and they called him Gump. And a lot of people wonder how it got Gump, and I read the story. They called him Gump because there was a cartoon character back in the cartoons in the paper called Gump. I forget, Gump something, anyhow. Yeah. I forget the last
name. Well, he was one. Him and Andy Brown were the last two goalies ever to play a full season without a mask.
Andy Brown really gets mad because Andy Brown, if you say that Gump Worsley, he was famous and everything. Yeah. And he was the last guy, and he wasn't. It was Andy Brown was the...
But they, like, play a full season. Like, not just the last game, but, like, a
full... He played 68 games right in a row.
Yeah, and he didn't wear a mask. He got hit. Didn't he get hit by...
Bobby Hull, and had it, and he said, good job, the puck was flat. You know, if it had been straight on, Bobby Hull used to have that big curve and a stick, and Cheevers and everybody was afraid of him. You know, I watched him. You know what he used to do? He used to shoot just as he hit the blue line all the time.
Bobby Hull.
Yeah, Bobby Hull. Yeah. And I watched those old games with Joe Bowen, and back to the 67s, he had Jimmy Pappin on. And he has Ellis on, and he has a lot of guys on there. Harry Neely and I, they're really good. And I don't know why they stopped. I forget how they stopped, why they stopped them. But I watch those games all the time. And boy, oh boy, they're pretty good games. They not as fast as they are now. You know, I think the reason that they're so fast now is that we were talking before and everything, and they are fast, Tim. Everybody's good. Everybody can shoot the puck. I would say the one of the reasons they do is they can skate with their head down.
Yeah.
You ever tried that? Some of those moves they try that with their head down.
Yeah.
and standing in front, anybody can stand in front now. Yeah. Everybody stands in front. And they jump out of the way as the puck just as it's coming.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. I remember Cashman used to stand in front. He used to take a beating. And Dornhofer used to take a beating, but you had to have a tough guy to stand in front. Chara, one time, I'll never forget it, we're playing Montreal, and for some reason, I don't know why Scotty did it, he put Larry Robinson, who was about 6'4", and if he had left him in front...
Didn't Gary Doak come to you and
say... Yeah, Gary Doak, and he says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He says, I don't know. I don't know how are you ever going to move him, because he could fight.
Yeah.
Anyhow...
But we got a great show with Gump Worsley.
We're doing a lot of talking here. This is going to be a long show. But anyhow, Gump Worsley, one of my best interviews I had, and he was a great guy. And you tell a story. I know your story that you wanted to tell, or I wanted to tell.
You were in Springfield with Mom.
Yeah.
And so Springfield Indians with Eddie Shore, and a New York Ranger got sent down to...
Yeah, you always get sent down if you're... I hate to interrupt, but if you were bad in the National Hockey League, if you did something bad and the coach didn't like you, you don't like it, eh? We're going to send you Eddie Shore for 3 weeks. So he must have done something wrong. But Phil Watson did not like him. He was the coach. Phil Watson was a French guy that was in, and he couldn't speak English too good, and he used to call him. He'll tell that story.
Yeah.
But anyhow,
so this guy got sent down, and in New York. So Mom made friends with her.
He was a defenseman,
right? So Mom made friends with the wife, like they all do, and everything. And then Gump, a couple of weeks later or a month later, Gump got sent down. Yeah. So and then Gump's wife, and so Gump's wife came a little while later. And so Mom thought, well, they both were in New York. So Gump's wife and this other player's wife were both in New York. So they must be friends. So Mom made sure that they sat together, and Mom sat with them. So they sit there. Mom, I remember mom, this Cindy tells the story well too. Too bad she's not here. But Cindy said mom would say she got a funny vibe right off the bat between the two of them. So mom's sitting there and the game's going on and somebody scores on Gump. And the one wife turns to Gump's
wife. Defenseman's wife.
Yeah, turns to Gump's wife and says, well, I see things haven't changed much. And Gump's wife got mad and whack, hit her right with the purse. And they went at it in the stands with mom kind of in the middle. I guess they had to get the ushers and the cops down to straighten them all
out. Now you know why they get sent down.
Yeah, yeah. So we got a great interview with Gump Worsley. So here is the Grapevine interview with Gump Worsley and Bobby Orr.
This week in the Grapevine, we got that Hall of Famer, Gump Worsley. Let's go.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome to the Grapevine. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest hockey player who ever lived and whoever will live, Bobby Orr. Put it out. Did you know Gump?
Oh yes, one of the great competitors.
Yeah, I played with him in Springfield, down with Darth Vader, and we were in Devil's Island down there. What happened in the National Hockey League? If you were a bad guy, and Gump was a bad guy with management, they sent them to Springfield, like a prison, and that's where I was. And that's a true story. Honest to God, they had in their contract, cannot be sent to any shore. And I remember the day he got sent down. We were playing in Providence. He met us they sent him like New York to Providence. And so we come back in the book to Springfield, and it was about, I would say, an hour and a half drive. So we went out and had a few pops and everything like that. So we couldn't go to a hotel. We never had any money or anything like that. So I said, well, come on to my house. So we go up three flights of stairs. We only had one bed, no sofa or anything like that. So where am I going to sleep? I said, well, sleep in that crib out in the hall. So he was so small, he got me pretty big now, but he was so small, he got in the crib, so I'm sleeping in the morning, sleeping in, you know, kind of hangover and everything, and Rose comes in and says, get up quick. There's a dwarf sitting in Cindy's crib. Big hairy hands taking over like that. I loved it. I loved it when those NHL guys came down, eh? When they came down and on the bus, they were used to flying and all that. They come down and they spend 10 hours in the bus. I remember he'd go stir crazy, walking up and down like that. So he was standing out right up the front, looking at the road going by, ba-doom, ba-doom, ba-doom. So I went up and I whispered his ear, Gump, just think of it as a long runway.
Gump was not a big flyer.
No, and he hated flying. I'll tell you that. We got a blue movie now. This guy, what a goaltender. He'll tell you the last guy. Not to wear, I don't think he ever wore it.
One of the last to put the mask on.
I think he tried it. Anyhow, we got a blue movie. It's beauty. Let's go blue.
Lorne Gump Worsley was known for his crew cuts, great goaltending, and a quick wit. While he was playing for the lowly New York Rangers, Gump was asked which team in the NHL gave him the most trouble. He quipped that the Rangers, of course. The Gumper started his long career with the Rangers in 1952, and after a great season, he was awarded the Calder Trophy for the Rookie of the Year. The Gumper played 11 years for the Rangers. He racked up over 200 wins and a goals against average of 3.10. One of the turning points of his career was in 1963 when he was traded to the Montreal Canadiens. With the Habs, Worsley kept up his fine goaltending, and with a powerful team in front of him, the Gumper went on to win 4 Stanley Cups in 6 years. His great play didn't go unnoticed either. He won the Vezina Trophy in 1966 and 2 years later in 1968. In 1970, he was traded to the expansion Minnesota North Stars, where he would finish out his career in 1974. Over his 24-year career, Gump would play in 860 games, record 43 shutouts, and rack up a lifetime goals against average of 2.91. One of hockey's greats, Hall of Famer Gump Worsley.
I'd rather start one with you.
I'd like to start a franchise with Bobby Orr.
I said I'd rather start one with you.
Well, that's it. That's true. I taught the kid everything he knows. Anyhow. Now, wait a minute. Sure Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year.
I can't remember that far back.
Rookie of the Year. Vezina. Stanley Cup. I didn't know you were that famous.
I'm not.
You weren't that famous when you slept in the crib. You remember that?
I was tired.
Now, wait a minute.
Maybe a little bit. more tired than I thought.
Yeah. You were tired, all right. It was about 3 after about 30 beers.
I guess. You don't know, you mean 30 beers? I don't drink beer. I hate beer.
That's right. Phil Watson, what did he say to you about your beer belly?
I told him I never drank beer. I'm a VO person.
Oh, that was just before he sent you down to Springfield.
That was one of the reasons. But I told him, though, when he was there. I was there before he came, and I would be there when he's gone.
And you were, too, eh?
Yeah, we sent him to Boston.
Now, why did he send you to the Devil's Island?
Well, he was one of them guys.
I remember you guys at training camp. It was unbelievable, the fighting you guys. You and Shacky used to give it to poor Phil all the time.
We didn't know anything. First of all, he couldn't speak English.
That's it.
Phil Watson, you figure a Scotchman, right?
Yeah.
No. A Quebecer.
All right, you loved the bus trips, I know, didn't you?
We never got off the ground. I love that. I got high enough by myself. I didn't need an airplane.
Remember the time Shore was out front and you were going, oh, oh, remember that there? And he says, the next time Sun does that, there's going to be a big fine. So what is he? We're all terrified. He goes, oh, like that. You remember his practices, Eddie Shore practices?
Well, they were great.
You liked them?
Sure, I liked them.
Why?
I didn't do anything. I always did practice.
But he,
I liked to dance. That's where I learned to dance when I went there.
He liked you, though, didn't he?
Well, what happened was he thought I was coming down. I was going to just horse around and go through the motion, but I wanted to play hard to get out of there.
Yeah. How long were you there?
3 weeks.
2 weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, eh?
Between him and you? Problem, you know.
I tell you. Did you feel, you know, when you went back up, did you feel sorry for us guys down there? I mean, did you?
I felt sorry for everyone in the minors.
Yeah.
I played in the minors a long time. I played in Saskatoon. I played in Vancouver. I played in Quebec City. I played in Providence. I played in Springfield.
Now, you were the rookie of the year, and then the next year, Bauer took your spot.
I asked for a $500 raise.
$500?
Yeah.
Guys now say, how much? $500 here. Give it, peel it off for you.
Camille Henry won it the next year and asked for a raise, and he got sent to the minors, too.
Now, you know, we were talking about players, and I know we didn't, Camille Henry was one of the smoothest hockey players. Am I right? Camille Lille.
He could score goals. He could put the puck in a letterbox. That's what we used to say about him.
He was a beauty.
He could pick him out of the air. He weighed about 155 pounds soaking wet. Nobody could hit him. One night we're playing in Detroit. He scores 4 goals on Sawchuk, and Sawchuk chased him down to center ice. Yeah. He's going to hammer him.
I think the best story is one of the guys, I forget who it was, big, tough defenseman, picked him up, rammed him in the corner, had him up like that. What are you going to do now, Camille? And he kissed him right on the lips.
That would be Camille.
He's a great guy. I'll tell you, well, now you went to, from there, you went to the Montreal. You went from the outhouse to the penthouse.
Just about, yeah.
Great
Where do you
spot.
Win?
Great spot, Montreal. Yeah.
13 years in the league before first Stanley Cup.
Yeah, how old were you when you won it?
35.
35 years old. Toll Blake, tough guy, but great coach, eh?
You know, he never yelled at you in front of the players. Always took you aside or in his dressing room and let you have it.
But you know, you see Camille, you see Mike Keenan pulling goaltenders and stuff. Did you ever get pulled by anybody?
Yeah, Toll Blake.
You did?
Yeah, in Detroit one night. We're playing, and I'm having a tough night, you know.
We all had
a few.
Yeah.
Too many. But anyway, I get up and I get the hook and I get near there and I throw my stick and my blocker came off and it hit the glass behind the bench and knocked his fedora flying.
Ooh. What a tough guy to do that to.
So we're getting on the train in Detroit after and we're going back to Montreal. But we have to go through Toronto in the morning. They keep us there till about 3 and then they sent us away back to Montreal. So we get through Toronto, and I'm sitting in the diner having breakfast with John Guy Talbot. Blake comes by with a picture of me, and he puts it in front of me. You weren't mad in that picture and kept walking. And that's the only thing I ever heard about that.
Jeez, boy, I tell you, the guys loved him, though, didn't they?
Run through a wall. He knew what he was doing. He knew how to handle the people, and I think that's the big thing in coaching.
I was like a cup of coffee going through one time, but tell us about his practices. You see the guys now, they've got a million things going on. Tell us one of his practices.
All I want to know is, why do we need 3 and 4 coaches?
You got me. Toe did pretty good, eh?
Well, you know, the thing is, four coaches are out there. One guy tells you one thing to do, and another guy tells you another thing. I decided in Minnesota. One tells you one thing, one tells you another, and what do? You just stand in the middle and
shake your head.
That's it.
So you got to Montreal, you had to fight out another guy, Charlie Hodge, he was there.
Well, in the two goalkeeper system, there was no fighting out. Blake had a system, if you won, you played.
Yeah.
You know, unless you were in a good game, 2-1 game, you lost, you played it the next game. But if you got beat 5-1 or something, next.
You were sent down to the Quebec Aces, I remember.
Yeah, I got sent down 63. I pulled my hamstring in Toronto, and I was told, go down there for 2 weeks by Kenny Reardon, who was vice president.
I love Kenny Reardon.
Yeah. I gave him a dime, but he never called me back.
Next year.
Training camp the next year, I got the call back.
Yeah, I remember you came to Rochester. We pounded you, and I 10-1, I think it was.
You wish.
I know, I never got on the ice. 64. Now, 64, and tell us about the cups and that you won. That was great. Must have been a thrill.
Well, I don't think there's, and Bobby will tell you too, that there's no, you can't explain it to people. It's just a feeling that you get. You know, when you're a kid, you grow up, you always want to win the Stanley Cup, play in the National Hockey League and win the Stanley Cup. And there's no way you can tell your feelings.
68, 69 meant a lot more to you than any of the cups, eh?
Well, I was older.
Well, you had a little problem that year, eh?
Well, it was the next year I had the problem, 70, where Claude Drouin took over.
Yeah.
And we didn't see eye to eye. So I just walked up to Sammy Pollock and I said, see you later. That isn't the exact words I used.
No, I know. We're on television.
And he says, no one quits the Montreal Canadiens. I said, well, I just did.
No kidding, eh?
Yeah.
You walked right off. Well, what did he do that ticked you off? I mean, what was he could have done to leave a great team like that?
Well, you get to a point you can only stand so much.
Yeah.
You know.
What do you mean stand? What did he do?
He's on your case all the time. You got to do this. You got. I never could. I was never a practice player ever.
No. Like Jerry Cheevers.
Same thing. And he knew that. I was with Canadians for 6 years before that, and he saw me practice. Now he was going to change me. At 39 years old.
Yeah. Now you went to Mini.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Ren Blair.
Ren Blair, our buddy.
The only good thing.
You discovered him.
Went to Minnesota to make more money.
Pardon?
Went to expansion team, made more money.
Yeah.
Canadians were tighter than bark to a tree.
You and Caesar Maniego.
That's right. Mutt and Jeff.
Mutt and Jeff Caesar.
Yeah. 6'3" and 5'3".
Now, Caesar, I remember one time, and he was a good goaltender. He could move. He was all right.
I went to Minnesota, they hadn't won a game in 21. They had tied a few, but they hadn't won a game in 21 games. And he was playing, and he was playing hurt, and he just was worn out.
I remember, I thought you guys did all right.
We got in the playoffs that year. Montreal didn't, if you remember.
Whoa, that must have been.
My wife really enjoyed that. But they called her and asked her about it, and she ripped them.
I tell you, wives are like that, ask Rose, I'll tell you that. Anyhow. I remember he had a lot of heart, that kid. I remember one time in the Boston Garden. I remember one time when Bobby was playing against you. Tell about the time, all the shots you had in Boston Gardens.
We had, I had 68.
68?
Yeah.
68!
And 3 minutes to go, the chief, Johnny Busick, shot it. I stopped it and promptly put it right in my own net. 4-4 the game ended. I walked in the dressing room and my tongue is down about my knees. And then a reporter walks up. He said, if he had a two more shots, he said, it would have made a great story. I was too tired, or I would have whammed him.
Remember, he was in there too, the Minnesota came in, and we had 62 shots at him, and I remember there was a stoppage of play, and he took off his mask, and he leaned on, you know, he had to hold himself up, and he got a standing ovation from the Boston Garden. So he had a lot of guts, that guy.
But Boston, good fans there.
Yeah, they didn't know what was going on. You retired in 72-73, and you made a comeback. Why?
Ren Blair talked me into it.
Oh, yeah. I remember the time, right at that time, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was Esposito and Dryden, and it was supposed to be the battle of the goalies. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And tell us what happened in that finals.
I can't remember that far back.
Well, you remember there was 9 million goals scored on them. The average was 7. And you remember what you said after
it's
that?
It's just like today.
Yeah.
They got the same problem today.
You remember what you said after that? You told I was in the forum with you one time after that. He says, if this is supposed to be the battle of the goalies, for cripe's sakes, I'm coming back.
I should have.
You
I was only 45.
45. Imagine playing that year. And you played in 24 years. That's a long years. Five leagues. And how many teams did you play on?
About 10.
10 teams. Never wore a mask. Did you ever wear a mask?
I got it on now.
Yeah. Well, I knew you wouldn't wear your regular face if you had that, I'll tell you.
Great on television.
Now, you never had any injuries, no? Or did you have any serious injuries?
Not really. I only got hit in the eye once by Andre Pronovo, and they stitch you up and push you back in
back,
the net.
Back out there again.
Yeah.
Why is there so many injuries to the goalies now?
No respect. They got two goalkeepers. When we had the one goalkeepers, they'd go in. And they'd stop and pull up.
Is that right, eh?
Yeah. Now they just keep plowing. They say, well, he's got a mask and a helmet.
Yeah.
He's fair game.
Fair game.
That's right.
What do you think?
You know that there's more goalkeepers lost their eyes since the mask than before?
Get out. Is that right, eh?
Yeah, check it out.
No kidding, eh?
That's right.
What do you think of all the equipment there? All the kids wear 10 tons of equipment they wear now.
I think the younger ones that are playing peewee and away down there are over-equipped. You know, they look like robots out there. They're going around and they don't know.
You know, one of the
learn how to skate like Bobby says.
Yeah.
You know.
Bobby says he'd wear a helmet now. I didn't ask him that question, but he says he'd wear. Imagine Bobby going down with that blonde hair flying. Well, something like my hair.
What hair?
Yeah.
No, it flew. Just kept going.
The reason I retired because my hair come forward and it went up. If they had had hairspray, I would have stayed.
Or hair blowers in the room.
Yeah, hair blowers. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Magnets, what do you think of them?
They're terrible. They cause more goalkeepers to get hurt than anything. Now the guys just charge right into the goalkeeper and say, I can't get hurt, the net's going to come off the moorings. I think they're the worst thing that hockey invented.
Okay. Now? What are you doing now?
What do you mean?
What are you doing now? I know you're.
What am I doing? I'm talking to you.
Go on hockey night in Canada, I'd be done.
I got sorry ones. I got barred in the forum.
What for?
Hockey night in Canada years ago by Sammy Pollock.
What'd you say?
I was on one night and I knocked Canadians. Gone. Never to go back again till about 5 years later.
Sammy said what was ever good for Canadians is good for the league. I like this guy. What job do you have now other than you're retired and be great on television?
Well, why do I need a job?
Well, everybody has
off the interest of what I owe. I'm letting off my great pension in National Hockey League.
Yeah, tell us about that pension.
I cashed my check at your bar before. I couldn't have a good drunk on my check.
No, what are you working for? Canadians, aren't you now? Kingston,
no,
or Canadians?
Okay.
Not Canadians. Yeah, Kingston.
Frontex.
Kingston Frontex. What are you doing there?
Wasting time. I'm going to help their goalkeepers. I'm going there tomorrow.
Yeah, and who's the best goaltender? And you've 24 years. Who's the best goaltender you've ever seen in your life? Except when you look in a mirror.
That's the only one.
Is that it?
No, there was a lot of good ones I played against.
How about Terry Sawchuk?
It was Sawchuk. Glenn Hall, Cheevers, Plante, there was a lot of good
ones. I put Cheevers in there. I'll tell you, this guy.
Yeah, this Cheevers guy, was a good goalkeeper.
Yeah, he was a money guy, eh? Money guy, Bobby, for sure. And with our friend, you're my friend too. What a show. Put her there, go, baby. Way there, go. He's a good old guy. Kind of dresses.
What do you mean old?
Well, you look kind of old.
I am old.
You led a tough life.
Yeah, I played behind you.
Remember, I used to go back, Jeet?
Not yet.
All right. What's the difference in the goaltenders now and back when you played?
I told you. We stopped them.
You stopped them? You don't like the goaltenders now?
It's not that I don't like them. Some of them are great, but some of them go to sleep in there.
Can you imagine now, in your day, there was six goaltenders. Imagine if they reduced it to six now.
It would be tough good. Playing on 24 teams.
This guy. I'll tell you. Come here, will you?
Listen.
Jeez, I always used to look to you at the end of the bench.
You know what happens? These kids come out of junior and they play every game. Now they go to the National League, they play two games in a row. I'm tired. 21 years old, they're tired. How does that work?
I don't know. How many games did you ever play in a row?
68.
68 games in a row?
We only had one goalkeeper. Somebody had to play.
What happens if you got hurt?
You went back in anyway.
Doesn't matter, eh? We kidded about the pension, but it's no joke, is it?
No, it's a sad affair. You know, for 24 years, we're 21 years in the National League, eh? 24 years, bro. The pension is just god-awful. You know, baseball players make five times as much as I do.
You know, and the Rocket, how much would he make?
$2.
$2?
Well, I know John Mariucci, if you remember him before he passed away. He was making something at a dollar something.
Isn't that something? And you guys had to pay the $900.
We paid part of it, yeah, $900.
$900, eh? Yeah. Well, I hope the National Hockey League does something for those guys back.
Well, they're all right now, but there's a lot of money sitting there, but they won't let it go.
Yeah, well, somebody better. Who is your hero?
Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr, eh? My hero!
Not yours alone?
I did so. Tell us your most memorable moment.
First game in the National Hockey League against Detroit, and we lost.
What was the score?
5-3.
5-3.
And Ted Lindsay scored the first goal, and the rest I don't care.
You don't have
to. Because there was many after that one.
What, were you in a fog?
I was in a fog.
Put it there, Gump Boy, I'll tell you that.
Well, Dad, that was a great interview with Gump, and I have to say, Dad, the new year didn't start out very good.
No, you know what I think of the police and the firemen and paramedics and everything. And I am really sad. In Calgary, Sergeant Andrew Harnett, in the line of duty, I just thought, don't go on. He was killed in the line of duty. He was 12 years on the force. He was in the military for 2 years too. What a great guy. I mean, you just read his write-up and everything. He's just a great guy. He was killed in the line of duty, and God love him, and God love the police.